Today we plan to go through Revelation chapter 22, verses 6 through 11. Now, in the book of Revelation, we have been given a breathtaking view, a spectacular view of what believers will be experiencing throughout eternity. Here's what we saw last week in verses 1 through 5 of chapter 22. We saw that river of the water of life and the sense of life and eternal life, and it's going to be awesome. We saw the tree of life and the healing that comes from that, the healing of the nations. And then we saw the fact that there was no curse, there were only blessings there. And then the throne of God and of the Lamb, so a sense of submission and service, godly, faithful service to Him and the significance of that. And then the sense of God's face. We're going to see His face as far as relationship. We'll be in relationship with Him, seeing Him face to face. And then we saw continual daylight, so there's nothing dark. There will be nothing dark around us, nothing dark in us. It'll be completely light. And then there was royalty that we saw, the sense of reigning with Him. We'll have authority and dignity, the sense of eternal dignity. Now it's time for the reader to respond to all that we've seen. This passage that we're going to look at today helps us sort of figure out how to respond in a healthy way to the book of Revelation. A healthy response features four key components that are highlighted in this passage. There are other components as well, but there's four that are highlighted here. Let's pray, and then we'll read this passage. Father, I thank You for this time in Your Word, and I pray that You'd encourage us and strengthen us, and Lord, help us know how to respond to this marvelous, marvelous book. Lord, we just thank You, Lord, for it, and pray that You would, Lord, that You would strengthen us, that we'd be strong, Lord, so we can serve You, and Lord, bring You glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So here we are in Revelation 22, verse 6. Then He said to me, "These words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent His angel to show His servants the things which must shortly take place. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Now I, John, saw and heard these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then he said to me, 'See that you do not do that. For I am your fellow servant, and of your brethren the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book. Worship God.' And he said to me, 'Do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still.'" What an intriguing, marvelous passage. So this book, according to verse 6, is faithful, it's true, it's reliable. The same God who sent the prophets also sent this angel to show John and to show us what the future holds. Jesus declares in this passage that He's coming quickly, He's coming suddenly, and with a blessing for those who keep this book. John, in response, is blown away. He worships before the angel. The angel corrects him and he says, "Hey, don't worship me, worship God." The angel also says, "Don't cover up what you've seen. The time is at hand, it's imminent." And then we also see here that if the reader is determined to be unjust and filthy, then this book will not have an impact. So if the reader is determined to be morally unjust or filthy and just doesn't want to change, then this book will have no impact. But if the reader is determined to be righteous and holy, then this book will encourage righteousness and holiness, ongoing, continued righteousness, continued holiness. A healthy response to this book features four components, and let's highlight them. Component number one, confidence. We can respond with confidence to this book, this prophecy, here in the book of Revelation. In verse 6, let me read it again. "Then he said to me, 'These words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place.'" So a healthy response to the book of Revelation features confidence. Why can we be confident? Because the angel declares to John who's basically returned to the first century as far as he was sort of catapulted into the future, or at least a view of the future. And that angel declares to John, these words are faithful and true. They're faithful, that means trustworthy and sure. And they're true, that means truthful. This is a reliable account of what will take place. The same God who sent the holy prophets has sent this angel. And the prophets throughout Scripture, they point to the themes that are in this book, the book of Revelation. The prophet Daniel foresees the rise of the ultimate false Christ. The prophet Zechariah foresees the conversion of Israel. The prophet Daniel also foresees the return of Christ. He said in Daniel chapter 7, verse 13, "One like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven." So that sense of the returning Christ. The prophet Ezekiel foresees the millennial kingdom. He devotes multiple chapters to its description. And then Isaiah foresees the creation of the new heavens and the new earth, the eternal state. And this all ties together. And we can trust that these words are faithful and true. So we can respond with confidence. Now, that doesn't mean that we can cross every T. We can't confidently predict the exact date and the exact time and all the details. In fact, we don't know all the details. And in some ways, that keeps us humble. And it encourages us to walk by faith every step of the way, because we don't really see everything on the horizon. We see some things, but not everything. So there are a number of things we do know. We know that Jesus is coming back. We know that he will right all wrongs. We know that he will rule with perfect righteousness. We know that our eternal future is awesome and sure. And we know a number of other things as well. We don't know everything, but we know a number of things. Thus, we can have confidence. So a healthy response features confidence. Now for number two, as far as a second component, and that's readiness. Now, the second half of verse 6, "And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place." And then in verse 7, "Behold, I'm coming quickly." So a healthy response to this book features readiness. Why? Well, we see the angel declares that these things must shortly take place. Shortly means quickly, speedily. In verse 7, Jesus is speaking and he declares, "I'm coming quickly." Quickly means without delay. It means suddenly. Thus, Jesus will return suddenly. He'll return anytime. For the past 2,000 years, believers have been encouraged to cultivate healthy expectancy. The events of Revelation could begin at any time. They could begin very suddenly. From the eternal perspective, 2,000 years is not really a very long time. And when it does happen, it's going to happen quickly, short and quickly. In my opinion, the pre-tribulation rapture position best captures this. In other words, the gathering of the church, the gathering of believers prior to a tribulation period, because that kicks off this whole complex of events, and it can begin at any time, so that unexpected, as far as the timing of the gathering, be unexpected, and then it kicks off this whole complex of events called the tribulation and all that takes place there. Readiness is huge. The reader is exhorted to be ready, to be watchful, and to be alert. And that means unattached to the world. It means making the most of our time. It means studying the Word. It means living the Word. And the whole idea of living in light of an anytime return. Always live ready. Who knows? Jesus could bring this thing to a sudden conclusion very quickly. Remember the wise virgins in Matthew 25. They were awaiting the bridegroom, and they brought oil with them so they'd have enough oil so they could trim their lamps and be able to meet the bridegroom. Well, the bridegroom was delayed. And they were all asleep, and suddenly the bridegroom arrived and The wise virgins had oil. The foolish virgins did not have any oil. We also need the oil of the Holy Spirit that depiles our heart, but also we're commanded to be filled, an ongoing filling of the Holy Spirit. Be filled and be continually filled is what Paul said, with the Holy Spirit. And so we need that kind of oil. We need that readiness and the strength, the power of the Holy Spirit. In verse 10, skipping down to verse 10, it says, "And he said to me, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand." Now the time is at hand. It's near. From an eternal perspective, it's very near. So don't seal it up. Don't close it up. Don't keep it secret. So many people today, they view Revelation as a sealed book. They say, well, we can't understand it well. Don't study it. We want a church that's for everyone. We want a wide net. We don't want any division, and we don't want to teach this. But God wants us to read this book. He wants us to study it, teach it, proclaim it, and be encouraged by it. Remember, it's the only book of the Bible that begins with, hey, there's a blessing for those who read this book. Now, we know that there's a blessing for reading every book and studying every book of the Bible, but the book of Revelation begins with a specific, stated blessing declared for those who read this book and take it to heart. The Holy Spirit can give us understanding, though we still see things dimly. We don't know everything, but we do understand many things. And there's a number of things we do know from the book of Revelation. In fact, a lot of the symbolism is explained in the book itself. Jesus says three times in this chapter that he's coming quickly. And that means there's emphasis, because it's three times he's coming quickly. Emphasis, there's certainty, and we need to be ready at any time. It's healthy to anticipate Christ's anytime return. It keeps us out of trouble to know that, boy, at any time he could gather us up to be with him. That keeps us out of trouble. We don't want to grab a hold of the cookie jar at that time when he comes back. We just don't want to. There's a sense of, hey, at any time he can come back, I want to be living for him fully. It also motivates us to make our lives count, knowing that he can come back at any time. Lord, we don't know how many days we have. Lord, I want my life to count. I want every day. I want to live fully for you every day, bring you glory. And then also, Christ's anytime return, it encourages us to share Christ with others. We want others to know about it because we love other people and we want to see them in heaven. We want to see them having their sins forgiven and being in relationship with the Lord. So let's be ready, the sense of readiness, a healthy response to this book. The book of Revelation features confidence and it features readiness. Now for number three, and that's faithfulness. In verse 7, behold, I'm coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. So a healthy response to this book features faithfulness. Note the blessing in verse 7. For those who keep the words of this book. To keep means to watch, to guard, to hold fast. It involves readiness coupled with faithfulness. Standing one's ground, the whole idea of doing what God desires and hanging in there. That's all in this whole sense of keep. Later, more specifics are given as far as later in this passage, more specifics are given regarding faithfulness. In verse 11, he was unjust, let him be unjust still. He was filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. So we who are righteous, declared righteous by what Christ has done for us, are to cultivate righteous living, ongoing righteous living. And we who are holy, made holy by Christ's sacrifice, what he's done for us, are to cultivate holy living, ongoing holy living. Whereas those who are unjust, they do wrong, and they're unwilling to do right, will continue to be unjust. And those who are filthy, they're morally dirty and are unwilling to become clean, to be cleaned or cleansed by the blood of Christ, will continue to be filthy. In other words, if we are unmoved by this book, the book of Revelation, and its realities, then nothing will move us. We will continue to be unmoved. At the same time, if we're moved by it, then let's walk in ongoing faithfulness, righteousness, holiness, ongoing faithfulness. A healthy response features faithfulness, and faithfulness brings glory to God, and it brings a reward. Looking ahead to verse 12, that's sort of out of scope of this passage, but it's right after it. So looking ahead to verse 12, and behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. So Jesus will reward his faithful followers. Our faith in him is reflected in our works, and he'll reward us. He sees everything we do, everything we say, everything we think, and he will reward us for everything that brings him glory. So continue to be faithful. Heap up rewards in heaven, the sense of a crown, and those words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Oh, we look forward to those words. So a healthy response to the book of Revelation, it features confidence, readiness, faithfulness. Now for number four, worship. Component number four, worship. Verses 8 and 9. Now I, John, saw and heard these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then he said to me, "See that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant and of your brethren the prophets and of those who keep the words of this book. Worship God." So a healthy response features worship. In John's case, he is so blown away that he worships the angel, just as he did earlier in the book. Now, John's an old man at this point, and he's an apostle. He knows better. And this tells us how great, how fantastic, how amazing heaven must be to think that he immediately worships. He falls down and worships at the feet of the angel. So he did the wrong thing, but it's amazing how incredible this must have been for him. So we learn in this passage that God is to be worshipped, not the angel or not any angel. God is to be worshipped. He's the recipient of our worship. Now, the Bible's all about worship, and God is to be worshipped. Now, worship means to kiss, like a dog licking his master's hand. Very interesting definition. Also means to reverence, to adore. So the whole idea of a very devoted dog licking his master's hand, the affection there, the devotion. But Satan wants to be worshipped, so he does everything he can in Scripture to undermine the worship of God. He successfully tempts the crown of God's creation in the garden. He tries to kill the promised seed, the one through whom the head of the serpent will be crushed. In fact, that whole line, he keeps trying to knock it off. He derails Israel's kings. He entices Israel's priests, encouraging false worship. Jesus arrives on the scene, and Satan offers him the world's kingdoms in exchange for worship. "I'll give all of these to you, all these kingdoms I'll give to you as long as you bow down and worship me." Jesus says, "No, absolutely not. It's written, worship God." Satan can't stand Jesus. He's the Son of God, and he's worthy to be worshipped. Satan does everything he can to stop Jesus, culminating in the cross, but even that is thwarted because Jesus rises from the dead. Since then, since that time, Satan has raised up false Christs, and the ultimate one is still to come, and that takes place in the book of Revelation. The Antichrist will demand worship. Those who refuse to worship him will pay with their lives. So it's all about worship. And as the angel says to John, worship God. He's the one to whom we're to show the affection of a devoted dog. He's the one we're to reverence and to adore. Only him. So God the Father and God the Son, we can worship them. So a holy response to this book features worship. We see all he's done for us, and we fall down, we want to worship him. A healthy response to this book features four components that we've looked at here in this passage. One is confidence. A second component is readiness, being ready at all times. A third is faithfulness. And a fourth is worship. Now, personal application of this passage, and we'll look at each one of these sort of response, healthy response components that we looked at regarding confidence. Are you placing your confidence in God's word? As opposed to the headlines of the day, which can be very discouraging, or as opposed to worldly thinking in general, or as opposed to how you feel kind of thinking, are you placing your confidence instead in God's word? It's unchanging. It's built on absolutes. It communicates absolutes to us. It's not dependent on how we subjectively feel. Do you believe that God orchestrated Scripture and that it all ties together? He put it together just the way he wanted. The Holy Spirit was working in the hearts of all the Bible authors, and ultimately God is the real author of Scripture. Are you trusting in God's ability to bring about his purposes? All of Scripture ties together. It reaches its final culmination in the book of Revelation. It all ties together. Now, regarding readiness, are you ready for Christ's sudden return? I'll be honest with you, I'm not always ready. I'm not always like expecting it. I'm not always like ready to go. But I need to be. At all times, I really need to be. Are you remaining watchful, alert, unattached to this world? Are you full of oil, the oil of the Holy Spirit? That's what he gives us at conversion, and then he commands us to be filled and continually filled. The oil of the Holy Spirit, he gives it to us so freely. All we have to do is ask. Is your Bible open? It's not sealed shut. Are you studying it? Are you proclaiming it? It needs to be open. The time is at hand. Regarding faithfulness, are you standing your ground, hanging in there, serving God wholeheartedly? When you mess up, you get up again. Lord, I'm serving you wholeheartedly. Are you cultivating right living? Are you cultivating holy living? Are you aware that God sees everything we do, everything we say, and everything we think? Are you heaping up eternal rewards? Regarding worship, are you learning how to worship God? Are you steering clear of worshiping anything or anyone else other than God? Angels are not to be worshiped. People are not to be worshiped. Only God the Father and God the Son. Are you adoring God? Are you revering him? Are you being like that devoted dog, wanting to please him? If you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, you cannot fully respond well to what's in this passage. You can't respond with confidence, readiness, faithfulness, and worship because you don't have the oil. The oil is given, just like to the Matthew 25, the faithful virgins, they had oil in their lamps. They were ready to meet the bridegroom. And the oil is the oil of the Holy Spirit. And that's what's given to us at the time of conversion. And then again, we're commanded to be filled and just ongoing, walk in fullness. Have a steady supply of oil being open to the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's leading. So if you're not a believer this morning, you need to be. You need to have the oil so that you can meet the bridegroom. If you're ready to surrender, if you're ready to say, Lord, I want to have you in the center of my life, I want my sins forgiven, then feel free to pray with me. And here we go. Lord Jesus, I want to respond to you. Forgive me for my sins. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins, for paying for my sins. You died in my place. Come into my heart. Change me. Transform me. And take control. Lord, I will follow you. I believe in you. Fill me. Thank you, Lord, for this time and for coming into my heart. Amen. And then for believers, we will close with this prayer. Lord, thank you for this time in your word. Lord, help us to stand strong. Help us to respond well to this incredible prophecy, this book of Revelation. Lord, help us to stand strong with incredible confidence and help us to always be ready. Lord, help us to not be so attached to the things of this world. Help us to be ready and help us to be faithful, to do the things you want us to do. And Lord, I pray that you'd really teach us how to worship you, how to love you, how to serve you, and how to put you first. I thank you, Lord, for this time and your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.